Chicago hard. Chicago hard. Chicago hard. Up and into them, right from the start of the game.
Gotta get them. Come on. They gotta feel them. They gotta feel them. They gotta get into them. Let's go.
The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the fucking job done.
Because you know why? Because when we play good, they send those guys to this table and talk to them like a hero. When we get up, I'm the one that see the here talk to you guys.
Get your mouth shut, you jerk. See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Defensively, just by taking the ball away. We didn't take the ball away enough tonight.
Hey, we make a couple more shots. Our record's different. We get a couple more stops. Our record's different.
Welcome to the Chicago State of Mind. We are a Chicago sports podcast from the perspectives of Southside guys with an unapologetic Chicago bias. If this city could talk, it would say Chicago versus everybody.
Audience, you know what it means. When this new episode pops up, you know we got a new guest on the show. This week, we are joined by Carly Bell, extraordinaire fellow Chicago Sky Beat reporter. She comes from Marquee Network. Carly Bell. What to do? Get on in here and talk to him.
Oh, you know, we're gonna just talk some hoops, my guy. Let's talk some ball. Why don't we act like we lacing up right now? And like, let's just get on the hardwood. Let's do it.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Last night after leaving that press conference, I went to the gym and I was like, man, Spoon had me in there lit because, dude, and I know you probably felt the same way. She was so tight, her presence in that room. She was not going to allow herself to sit here and take a victory lap last night. And I'm like, dude, I am with the smoke. I'm like, Teaspoon, I see your energy, girl. What's up?
Yo, I'll never forget that introductory press conference that she had. That was what? God, that feels like eons ago. That was what, October? Uh-huh. And that opening press conference, I sat there and I was like, I will run through a brick wall for this woman. I will do anything for this woman. She is just somebody that, like, I mean, take out just, you know, her energy, just her resume, like, mm-hmm. Why would you not want to play for Teresa Weatherspoon? Like, if you think about it, like, what she's done for the sport of basketball is something that I don't think people give enough recognition to, you know, like, and I'm like, we're gonna have a little history lesson also on this, because as much as we're seeing all of these new names come in to the W, we have to make sure that these I should not call them old heads. Let's not call them that. But like these veterans and the people who helped set up the league and create this league and put the league into a place of visibility so that these women could have an opportunity to blow up and explode this league even further is something that I want to make sure that whoever new fans come and start watching the W understand. Like, you, there is a level of respect that needs to be had. And that's what I love about Weatherspoon, is you still feel that, like, old school, like, early aughts, like, late, I mean, that's when she played, but like that early aughts, like, basketball mentality that was mm-hmm. just like very Kobe-esque, just like, we're gonna grind and we're here to work and we're relentless and we're fearless and we're fighters. And that's what she wants to continue to carry on. And to see that still alive in 2024 makes my basketball heart so happy.
I'm the happiest person on the planet.
I'm the happiest person on the planet.
The one of the things that you just said there, I wholeheartedly appreciate you say it, is the veterans in this game, the legends in this game. Let's not sit here and sleep on the accomplishments and how they opened up this opportunity for your Angel Reese's and your Caitlin Clark's, Cameron Briggs, and so forth to come in here, right? Because everybody now is paying attention to the W, but the W been going on for decades. So what's good, y'all? What's good? Where y'all been at?
That, well, look, all right. You ready for some history? Here we go. We're going to go into some history. So the WNBA, here, let's even go back further, because I just want to make sure that there are certain women like Lynette Woodard who, during the Caitlin Clark hype of the 2023-2024 season, continuously got overlooked. Like Kelsey Plum did set the NCAA scoring record, but that was not the all-time scoring record. Did Caitlin finally break that this year? Yes. But like, let's just make sure that we give Lynette Woodard her flowers, because she scored that many points without a three-point arc and without a women's ball. She did that with a men's ball and just crashing inside and on mid-range shots. So that alone is insanely impressive. So let's move forward. Not until around, my years sometimes get off. It's either 79 or 81, somewhere in there. When the NCAA finally recognized women's sports, and women's basketball was actually one of the first sports to be recognized. And that's when we started to see, you know, the interest of women in sports grow. That's when you started to see the people like Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey and all of those, you know, people that are now coaching in college, when they had their moments and they were starting to get looked at. The WNBA, created in 1997, was not created to actually be a functioning league. It was solely created as, in all honesty, in my personal opinion, as a visibility move for the NBA, because Stern was basically saying, we want to give these female hoopers who have, you know, played very well here in the collegiate level an opportunity to play in front of their hometown, like in front of their home crowds. And that's how the WNBA was created. It was not created as anything more than to just be this little summer league for these women to have the opportunity to play in front of their friends and family. That was the only intention. Here we are now, 27 years later. It's obviously turned into a lot more than that. But what really blew up the WNBA was not this past year, was actually the Breanna Stewart class and the Asia Wilson class. And that, like, 2014 to 2016 college class really put the W on the map. And for people who knew, who like watched women's basketball, like myself, like I've been watching Asia since she was a sophomore at South Carolina. Like I've been watching Kelsey Plum since her sophomore year at Washington. Like these are women that have been doing everything that these college hoopers that are just now getting this recognition now are doing. They've been doing it for a long time. There's a couple reasons, but the biggest factor into why a lot of these college kids now, like Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Camila Cardoso, Aaliyah Edwards, all of them, the main reason that they even were able to capitalize on this visibility, because it was, didn't even start until 2021. Because in 2021, I'm going to repeat this year one more time. 2021 was the first time that the NCAA women were allowed to use the term March Madness to cover their college tournament. 2021. Okay. So these hoopers that have been in the W, and that like set the foundation of the W, Lisa Leslie, Candace Parker, Courtney Vandersloot, Maya Moore, Cooper, all these people, Elena Deladon, Stacey Dales, all of these old time hoopers did not, their college tournaments weren't even covered until the Elite Eight. This past year was the first time, 2024 was the first time the women's tournament was fully broadcasted. Imagine if these, like Diana Taurasi and Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson and all of them, had their collegiate games broadcasted nationally on a full-blown level. W would be light years ahead of where it is now, but it's not. And then, and the other thing is because it's technically a subsidy of the NBA, you're now in a situation where there's a lot of things that you can't do because of that and because of a certain law that's in place, which I understand there are a lot of people that, look, I'm going to just say this as diplomatically as possible. Title IX, when it was first introduced, is something that we as women cannot say thank you enough for, because it just finally gave us the recognition. However, with how that bill is written, there, as per most laws, because capitalism, but there's always a loophole. There's a loophole in everything. And everyone found the loophole in Title IX. Because if you look at Title IX, it's actually not about equal distribution of funds. It's just about having equity within the space. It's never actually been about money. It's just been about equity.
Because yeah, equal opportunity. Yeah.
Right. If you look at how it is on the college level, why do you think that there are sometimes more women's teams than men's teams? Guess what mostly eats up all the scholarship spots for men? Football. So then you, as a, like on the women's sports side, you have to match that. So also Title IX hurts male sports because there are going to be more and more men's sports that get cut because you have to just have the same opportunity with scholarships. And regardless, you know, there should be all types of sports at every college. I don't care if it's men, women, animals, you know, aliens playing. I don't care. There should be equal opportunity of sports on both sides. And when that continues to happen, and if you also look, not even, that was what, 2019, that the women's tournament with Sabrina Ionescu when she was there and everything, didn't even have a proper workout set. They were just given like what, like 10 dumbbells to split between like 30 teams.
Yeah, that was like, sad. That was some sad shit.
Right. And so like, if you look at this now, you have to really take a seat back and be like, okay, the WNBA has so much on the line right now in these next 2 years. It all depends on whether or not they capitalize on it. And it all depends on certain business moves. And look, that's a whole other, that's a podcast for yeah, another day.
That's going to be part two, right?
That's a podcast for another day. But it's one of those things where I just want to make sure that these new folks that are coming into the W, they're like, why is Caitlin Clark only making $74,000? Because that's the max rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that she was taken number one overall. That's the max rookie contract. Here's the other thing. Is she most likely going to make that Fever roster? Yes.
Yeah.
More than likely. Like, you know, but out of 36 draft picks last year, only 12 made a roster.
I know.
Like, this is not the NBA, y'all. Like, y'all cannot be taking men's sports and doing comps because of all of the historical inequality that have been stacked against women. It's actually now become a huge benefit because the WNBA is, I'm going to just say this, way more competitive on a league level than the NBA. You can watch the NBA and, like, I'd say probably the first 3 months into this, 2 months into the season, you know who's making the playoffs.
Right.
Guess what? WNBA, you won't know probably until like the week prior with those fringe teams at the bottom. Because how it's set up. Like, because of the inequality, we now have one of the most competitive women's basketball leagues in the world. You have 144, but in all reality, I can't do math. What's 11 times 12? Like 122? 122 girls, you know, playing, and you have 36 new people trying to come in fighting for maybe, in all reality, because of the amount of contract spots that are on the team, you have a max of like 3 to 6 girls that you just drafted trying to fight for 2 roster spots.
I know,
like, and these vets are not gonna just let them join the team. Like, this is a job at the end of the day, and that's what makes this league so great, is the amount of competitiveness that is in here. And if y'all haven't gone to a WNBA game, you should, because there is nothing, those games are hyper competitive up until, depending on who you watch, up until like the last 3 minutes of the game. Sometimes it's the last minute of the game. Mm-hmm. But they run the whole length. Like, it's a different sport. It's just men's basketball and women's basketball are two different sports. And I want people to understand the difference and acknowledge the difference while also acknowledging the history behind it. Because without acknowledging the history behind it, there's no way for the league to grow in a, well, that's not true. It's going to not grow at a, when I say respectful, I mean respectful from a mainstream standpoint. You're going to just continue to get these folks who are like, oh, well, women can't dunk, so I'm not going to watch. Or, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, all this. And when, you know, women can dunk, I play with hoopers. I play with women who can dunk. A majority of us get manicures and we don't want to ruin our nails. So, you know, you know, our hands are also our job. And I'm glad you men like trying to put your wrists at risk, you know, going up for dunks and getting that vert. Congratulations. We going to just sit out here and catch some threes from the half point.
Okay. Listen to her talk. And Carly got game. So she can back up.
I may or may not have played for a little bit. May not have coached for a little bit and ref for a little bit. I've done, look, everything on the court I've done. I played hoops for Oh God, that was what, 13 years? And then after that, I coached. I did not play collegiately. We love injuries. And then after I played, after I had to hang it up, I coached youth sports for youth basketball from like age 16. And I still do it now, like sporadically, and reffed youth basketball, you know, for a while. Like, this sport gave me my job. This sport led me to my career path. And my job is to honor and respect the sport that gave me this opportunity and to turn people onto the sport that truly, in all honesty, like created the life that I have. And like, I don't like, that is something that I just want people to understand is like, that's the beauty of what sports are. It's such a, that's why they matter. And not only do like women's sports matter, but like legit sports as a whole matter, like as a whole, like youth sports especially. And that's why I want to make sure that like I can do what I can to like give to make sure that that love of that sport stays alive, because that, well, that ball is everything.
I was gonna say too, I respect that's for so many reasons, because it's the way that you made your path into this space. But there's also people that are watching you right now, Carly, and they're mimicking you. They're like, man, I want to be how she got her own show on Marquee, right? And you know, that's me throwing that out there because she's got a show on Marquee, right?
No, you know, shameless plug, Chicago Sky No Limits on Marquee Sports Network.
talk.
You know?
But the thing there is, though, there's people that are always watching, right? And you don't know how you're going to be able to influence that next generation of journalists, hoopers, and so forth. So it's a responsibility. So I love that you came on here and gave a history lesson, because there's so many people that have the recency bias, but no appreciation for history, right? Like for me coming up, I watched the Houston Comets. Half the people that are listening to this show don't even remember that franchise because they're no longer, but they were a freaking dynasty.
Oh my God. And the Detroit Shock, can we talk about them too? That's like, right. Good Lord. Oh my gosh.
And I can put my Bill Laimbeer bias to the side for that one. That was a hell of a team. Still not rocking with Bill as much, but I mean, everybody's over here. They were talking all that shit for against Cheryl Swoops. And I'm sitting here
don't get me started.
Y'all got to stop playing with these legends. That's a bona fide legend. Like, truth. Stop playing with her.
Truth. And, like, I need – everyone's like, y'all, these vets are hating on these rookies. Blase, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, bro, they just speak in facts. Mm-hmm. Because what rookie – no rookie since Candace Parker has won Rookie of the Year and MVP. No rookie. Candace Parker is the only person in the WNBA to have done that in the last 20 years. That, like, so that alone speaks to the competitiveness of this league. And even if you look at some of the top picks from last year that were on LSU's national championship team, Lexis Morris didn't make a team. She, you know, she out playing overseas, because this league is different. It's just different. Like, just how you see it's like, it's the same in men's sports. You see a lot of people who get drafted in the NBA in that top 10 rounds that you don't hear from ever again. Just how it is in the NFL, just how it is in the NHL. It's like this across every sport. So let's make sure we hold that same accountability that you hold men to, that may or may not make the roster, to the women here. Do you know how many cuts go up, like happen during NFL training camps? Do you know how many cuts happen on NBA rosters? Do you know how many cuts happen with NHL? Like, the problem is they actually, those men's leagues have minor leagues that they can send them down to. Women don't have that. They just go overseas and make more money than they would in the W. So, like,
see, the sad part for me when it comes to that is when you look at the NFL and the NBA, first rounders and even to a small degree, second rounders, they get guaranteed money. So let's say, for instance, if for some reason some second rounder gets cut, they still walk away with cheese. The Chicago Sky, we drafted Karen the Trailer last year, who lit it up. We cut her. She was out there like, damn, what am I about to do now? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But like, that's, and this is where, you know, I'm very thankful that these up and coming college athletes have those NIL deals, because they at least can make that money that. And you, this is what also people need to realize. Everyone that plays collegiate athletics is not always looking to go pro. Like, you know, some people just use collegiate athletics to pay for their education. So, you know, if they can make some extra, you know, get their bag on the side and play hoops and get a free education, I'm all here for it. And then if you want to go in for a chance to go pro, and have that opportunity, by all means. And that's how these college kids should be looking at it. Make your money in college. And if you want to go pro, look at your pro money as gravy. That's how, that's until the W changes. That's how you need to approach it. If you're someone who really wants to play, and this is just speaking in a women's basketball sphere, obviously, but if this is someone, if you're someone that played collegiate and you really want to play pro, but you're just not at that caliber yet, then just don't, like, you can declare for the draft, like, by all means do it to, like, make yourself an option, because you never know what can happen and you never know who's watching you. But, like, don't be upset if you don't get drafted, because I can tell you right now, you will more than likely find a spot somewhere in Europe or, like, in Asia or in, you know, Turkey has always seemed to take a lot of the Americans over there as well. So, you know, they're and guess what? You're going to make more money than you would on a WNBA contract. So, like...
That's why they go over there in the offseason to eat.
Boom. So, like, there's a lot, like, before the W can make any changes, like, that, you kind of, like, these kids that are coming in, they're like, we want to make these waves. I'm like, bro, I'm all here for it. I want to see, I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. I want to see y'all really turn the WNBA into its legitimate female counterpart of the NBA, which is what it should be. It should be, you know, having a 70 game season in the fall, playing the same time as the NBA, and creating that generational fandom instead of trying to fit a season in 3 months, you know? So
yeah,
that's something that's going to take time. That's something that's not going to happen in a year, 2 years, 5 years. That's going to take around like 5-7 years to get together. So, like, if you can do it, these new players can do now is, if you want to try and grow the W, declare for the W and hope you get picked and hope that your eyeballs follow you. And here's the other thing. I'm going to just say this. Caitlin Clark is not going to be getting 40 some odd shots and scoring 30 pieces. That's just not going to happen.
We got somebody named Kelsey Mitchell on that team.
And I don't know. They got somebody named Aaliyah Boston. So,
right. So there's so many shots going up.
Right. So you're not like, and this is the only thing everyone thinks I'm a hater, and I'm just not. Everyone thinks I'm a hater on Caitlin Clark. I'm not, because I'm not going to discredit her shooting ability, and her vision on the court is something that I don't think people give enough credit. And that's what's actually going to help translate more to the W than her shooting ability is going to be her passing ability. The speed is going to kick her in her teeth, because those games are fast. I don't think she's ever like playing at Iowa when they don't ever run full court. Ever. Like, Big Ten teams don't run full court offenses. Like, ever. Which bothers me, because that's all Chicagoans do is run up and down the damn floor.
They just get up and down.
So, yep. Why are we seeing Midwest people do this? But, you know, it is what it is. They're, like, you're going to be playing full court transitional basketball for a full 45 minutes. You might get some half court sets every now and then, but you're going to be flying, and that speed is gonna hit you, and that physicality is just gonna kick you in your teeth. We saw it with Aaliyah Boston last year. She did not start off the season great, but by end of June, beginning of July, we started to see some momentum, and then she really settled in at the end of August, beginning of September. That's gonna be the route for a majority of these rookies. It's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be a learning curve, and they're just not going to be getting, like, the best thing that I can say, Aaliyah Boston is such a different tale, because that's a 6'6" post player. Okay. Like, that person's going to get the minutes, but one person that I don't think ever got enough love last year, who also plays for Indiana, is Grace Berger. I covered Grace Berger when she was in high school. That girl was a wicked talent in high school, but she played Kentucky high school basketball, which I'm just going to say, Kentucky high school girls basketball is not some of the best basketball I have seen. Okay. There were some games I was covering where the final score was 30-20. So, like,
wow.
No shot clock in high school, another podcast.
She brings up so many things. Part three,
part 30. We going to need to go. But, and then I also, you know, I followed Grace Berger when she went to IU, and she absolutely dominated IU. And then, she got to, talk about another great story. You know, she's from the Louisville area, goes to IU, and then plays for the Indiana team. So she gets to keep her family, got to play in front of her family her entire life. Like, that's amazing. But I'll never forget when she came. This was a preseason game. Preseason. And this is last year. And Dana Evans came on that court and cooked her, broke her ankles, buried them in the dirt, and said, "Say a prayer for your mother right now." Like, that's what that was. That, like, Caitlin Clark is going to be facing that level of intensity. And, like, it's just different. And I hope it's not me hating, because is she going to have an unbelievable career in the W? Yes. Is it going to happen right away? No. It's going to, her big year is going to be her sophomore. I say sophomore, but like her second or third year in the league. In all honesty, I think her second year in the league is when she's really going to pop off. As we see that a lot more so with guards than we do posts, because you know, guards don't have to battle Asia Wilson.
Right.
Guards don't have to battle Jonquel Jones. Guards don't have to battle Breonna Jones, you know? Yeah. So the guard, we saw it with Sabrina, her rookie year, you know, it was okay. That second year though, really saw the come up. Same thing with Kelsey Plum. Not a great first year, solid second year. That's just what it's going to be. And here's the one thing I hope, like what I would love is if she makes me eat my words, prove me wrong. Cause then you want to know what that means. That means that women's basketball has gotten to such an advanced level that we're now starting to actually see the WNBA mimic the early aughts trend of the NBA with all of those young kids coming in and taking things over. We have not seen that yet in the 25, 27 years this league's been around. I would love to eat my words, but I just know, look, I played with some of these, I played ball on travel teams with some of these girls that played in the W. Like, they're just not gonna let them run. Like, it's just the competitive, to be a pro athlete, you have to be a little crazy. Like, there's something, just a smidge, just a smidge, because that's a level of competitiveness that an average person does not have. They just don't. And so you have to be a little crazy. And when you got 140 of them, that's a lot, you know, like it's just, you're not, they're not going to let you come in and just take over. Like, that's just not what the gig is, because they want you to prove to them why you should take over. That's what it is. It's not at all like, nah, this is my spot, this, that. They're like, no, prove to me why you deserve to be here. That's what this is. And that's the beauty of this, is that you still kind of get this old school basketball mentality of like tryouts and everything at the pro level. And it's like a real, like, it's like real cuts and like real, like it's just real. It feels like you're watching, like, it's like a Lifetime movie. You're watching like high school basketball Lifetime movies happen. Like it every year, like there's, that's so fun. And if you don't like that, you don't like basketball. There, I said it.
Oh, we came in here firing them shots. Yeah, I don't think that it's hate. I just think it's more along the lines of what Cat Williams said. The truth don't need motivation. I think it's just fair points.
A cat reference, a Cat Williams reference was something I was not anticipating. Oh my God.
Brian. You get it all. You get it all in Chicago State of Mind. That's right.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
But the thing is that she's going to be coming into a league. Like, you brought up Dana Evans. We're not even talking about the heavy hitters of the league that are all chomping at the bit to show people that it's levels to this thing. Boom. And that's not any sort of indictment against Caitlin, because listen, she had freaking people standing all outside our Carver Arena for 2 years to watch her play. We know what she's going to bring to the W. However, I hope people don't think that she's going to be having 40 ball triple doubles every game. Now, if she does, again, I'll eat my words. I'm just saying that if you look at that Indiana Fever team and the way that they're set up, I agree with you, Carly. I think that if she comes in here with the mindset of feeding her teammates and getting them involved, I think that's going to be how she's going to probably make a bigger impact here this season than her going off and trying to jack up 23 pointers from logos. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's just, and here's the other thing. Every majority of those players in the W have Caitlin Clark shooting range. They, yeah,
we got a couple snipers on this team. Right? What are we talking about?
Yo, I mean, if we want to start talking about what this Sky team is going to look like, oh my God.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because, you look at what Jeff did, and I'm talking about our numbers are already pretty respectable out here. We did a little post yesterday, and I'm sitting up here looking at the numbers coming on that. I'm like, if we're going to be doing this all summer.
Oh, I've seen. sitting here. I sat there and when I'll never forget that day before the draft, and I'm at the beach because it was 75 degrees in Chicago in April. And you know, that's when Chicagoans go feral. First nice day of fake spring. We go out and we go and have our fun. But I'm at the beach. I'm sitting there on Lake Michigan and I get this like Chicago Sky moved up one pick. And I was like, so they're getting Angel. Like, I was like, so they're doing everything in their power to position themselves to go get Angel Reese. And after I saw how Cardoso played in the tournament, in my opinion, she should have been number one overall because she is the best overall basketball player in that class, period. Because like, what other 6'7" center do you know that can not only put up double doubles and lead in shot blocks, but also can average like 4 assists and some steals and can shoot from the 3-point line? Like,
that's a cheat code. That is a damn cheat code.
That is what? Like, that's a level of hooper we have not seen in the W. Like,
nah, that's silly. It's silly.
Like, Chicago got a steal taking her at 3. I understand Cameron Brink going to LA. Like, that just made a lot of sense with just
for many reasons, right?
Oh man, yeah. Made so much sense. And then I sit there, and what's funny is I was like sitting at home. I was like, you know, what if Indiana decides to troll the W and not take Caitlin? Like, I just sat there. I was like, can you imagine that for a second? Like, imagine that for a second, because I was just sitting there. This was me being this was me having a little bit of fun. You know, I was like, let's see. Because if you look at the last few top prospects that have had a lot of hype in all leagues, like with Wembanyama in the NBA, San Antonio bought in so hard where you could buy his merch before and his jerseys before he was even drafted. Same thing with Bedard. But like, do you know many Bedard billboards I saw before he was even added to the team? Like, there was
people had their jersey on at the draft. And I'm like, damn.
Exactly. Like, there was a level of hype that was built up around it, and the league and the teams capitalized on it. All I saw with Indiana was like a couple Twitter posts here and there. And I was like, you know, like, what are we doing? Like, you know, what's that? Like, they're like, we're 22 days away. And they're like, oh, that means they're taking her. And I was like, well, they'd be foolish to not take her because they need a guard more than bigs anyway. But like,
right.
I'm just sitting there and I'm like, that's all you doing? Like,
yeah, they could have done a little better build up. But I'll say this to Carly. I was looking at the prices and I did this. I was like, I saved some screenshots because I was curious. I'm like, let's see the ticket prices for a Chicago Sky Fever game before draft, and let's look at that thing post-draft.
Oh!
The price of the Bricka went up, and I'm sitting here like, good Lord, I hope y'all bought them tickets beforehand. It's $300 seats now at Win Trust.
I got people ask me, yo, Carly, can you get me tickets? Yo, Carly, 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 yo, Carly, yo, Carly, 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 can you hook me up with some tickets? I'm like, bro, I don't work for the Sky. I can't just, like, throw tickets at you. No, but like, I'm gonna just tell you, you should go to a game this year. That's what you should do. Like, everybody, look, even if can we just talk about now what this Fever Sky game is gonna be?
It's gonna be a movie. It's gonna be a movie.
Yo, like, so hype, bro. Oh my God, you have no idea how hype I am right now, bro. Like, oh my God. Like,
I can hear it.
that first game, which I think it's June 8th, or it's June, the one at Indiana, I think is June 8th, but the one at Wintrust is at the end of June. Correct. And it is, I put on my calendar, I was like, this is a game, Carly, I go to all of them anyway, but that's one, I always try and take, you know, one game off where I can go as a fan, you know, and just watch and not cover it. And I was like,
which for the audience, I always love that because she still comes and pulls up with us. She have a couple pops and I'm sitting here like, see, that's why I fucks with Carly Bill.
Yeah.
That's why I fucks
with Yeah, bro. Look, man, I love hoop that much. I don't really. What's funny, my friends, they all let this is totally off topic, but my friends, they all laugh at me. They're like, Carly, you know, watching sports with you is a journey, but watching basketball with you is a battle. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, you're sitting down and you're calling out rotations and things before they even happen. Look, I play this sport. I touched a basketball at age 2 and I never let it go. Like, I love this sport. This sport is such a beautiful sport. Because of what this sport is. This is the, like, this is one of the only sports that is both a team and individual sport, but in all reality, it's like 30% team. No, 30% individual, 70% team. And you don't see that in any other sport. Football, it's 100% a team sport. Hockey, 100% a team sport. Soccer, same thing. Baseball, a little bit different. But like, you know, this is one of those ones where not only that, this is the one sport that I believe tests mental toughness more than any other sport. Like, because baseball is a game of failure. It's more like
it's built in.
It's built in. Whereas in basketball, one night you could be hot and be shooting like 49% from the floor and like putting up like 20 and 10 and like having some dimes on there and a couple steals. And then that next game you score 4 points and get 2 rebounds. Like it's all about mentality. And that's the beauty of this sport is like this sport is all about your mental toughness and how you handle different types of situations. So this is like, that's I just love it. And I also just love the swag that comes with the sport of basketball, bro. Like, man, I was not allowed to trash talk a lot when I played, but I had my moments where I would say some things and I said, and now I'm seeing like that get elevated. Like the trash talk is now like, it reminds me a lot of like what it was like when you grow up. You know, I was a girl who grew up playing hoops on asphalt, you know, because we didn't have open gyms. That was not a thing, you know, in the early 2000s. Like we just played on asphalt or at the park, or you had a travel team, like then you go play with them. So I was playing on asphalt with the boys, and that's a lot different, you know, like you learn mental toughness when you're playing with, you know, mostly men. And when you're like 8, 9 years old on an alley asphalt on the northwest side of Chicago in a little alleyway, like that's like that's the width of a car, and you just, that's why I know my mid-range game.
So she's talking about south side shit right now. She's talking about south side shit. No, I'm over smiling because that was us.
Look, I played, look, my not to get into my history, but like my first ever travel team, I played on an all black travel team on the west side of the city. Like that's where I learned to hoop. I learned basketball from black women, and they taught me all the tips and tricks and all of these little nuances within the game that I never knew. And it's something that I was very appreciative of. And they took me to those courts, you know, over on 63rd Street and over on 52nd Street. And like, you know, you go over to the Jordan Classic that happens in the summertime. Like I spent my summers at that Jordan Classic so I could just meet and see those folks play some hoops. And like I'll never forget when I first started playing ball competitively, like at a very high level, like travel ball. I was about 9, 10 years old. And my team had a tournament at Neuqua Valley in Naperville. And this was Candace Parker's final year at Naperville Central. And she had a tournament at Neuqua, or she had a game or something at Neuqua, because I saw her there. And I look at my mom if any parents are listening, you know what those travel tournaments are like. You there 8 hours, you know, you there all day, but like, you know,
lunch.
Literally packing 3 meals. You know, we had and of course, you know, when you're on teams that win and you're there even longer. So like we're there all day and our tournament wraps. And I, you know, God, this is how I know I was meant to be a reporter. Cause I was reading about Candace Parker in the Tribune as a kid, but I was a basketball nerd from the jump, but like I was reading about her from the beginning, and I looked at my mom and I was like, mom, that's the girl. She's the one that's up for Gatorade Player of the Year. She's going to Tennessee. She's like one of the best players that's ever, like, I want to, what can we say and watch her? Can we say? And like, I grew up on the north side, like Naperville's like 1 hour 10 for me. Like that's a haul. And my mother, God bless her soul, we stayed for a half. I got to watch a half, and I got to watch 18-year-old Candace Parker hoop. And I sat there and I just looked at what she did. And I was enamored like immediately. And she was my first real exposure to like what women hoopers can like be and become. And I have been like the biggest Candace Parker fan since, obviously, but like I have followed her. She is the reason I knew what the WNBA was. She is the reason, because I didn't know about the, you know, I grew up in like kind of an old school type of household. You know, we just watched football and that was it, you know, like there wasn't anything else on. And the WNBA was not getting broadcasted, you know, like, no shot, they weren't getting broadcasted nationally. So like I couldn't watch her in the W, but like I did research and I would like read up on her games and like read the stats and all of that stuff. And like what she did, like she was the OG Caitlin Clark. That's what people don't like for Hoopers. She was the OG Caitlin Clark. What Caitlin Clark is now is she's like what LeBron was to like general fan.
Right. That's such a great comp.
She's what LeBron is to general fans. Michael Jordan, it was the Candace Parker. And then you have LeBron. Then you had LeBron follow, and that's what Caitlin's doing. And so, like, I'm not talking skill set. Please, dear God, they do not even, they are not even the same position. They are two completely different players. I'm gonna just say this: Candace would school her in a one-on-one right now. it's just one of those things where it's more. I'm talking more about the visibility and the eyeballs. That's more what I'm talking about, you know. And so, that's all I want to see is I just want to see what the future of this league holds, because I don't want to see a league that I wanted to be a part of and was wild as I kind of am, you know, now full circle, not as how I wanted to play, but you know, it happens, but like, you know, a part of it in some way makes me happy to see that like that love of the ball and of the court and of not only that women's ball, because it is a different game than how men play it, like is still alive. And that I just hope that this league doesn't let this go to waste.
So I'm not the biggest Kathy person over here.
Oh, Brian, that's part four.
But you know what? When she sits up there on that podium and she said that she's not going to let this opportunity go to waste, I'm like, I'm going to remember these words, because yep. If you fuck this up, it's going on your tombstone. But anyway, let's get into some Sky.
Yes, let's get into it, man. Let's look at this.
So we got a 6'7" bruiser coming in here, all around game that's going to run the floor. Can you just please just talk to the audience of just how that's going to integrate in the mix? I mean, we got E. Will, and listen, nothing but respect for E. Will and what she did and what she brings to the table. But talk to us about Cardoza, what she's going to be able to bring to the table with that all-around game that you kind of brought up a little while ago.
Yeah, so I want to just – let's recap a little bit of last year. Last year's Sky team went through every possible negative thing that could happen to a team, happened to that team. They lost their head coach and their GM in one fell swoop when he left midseason. They also were riddled with injuries to start. They lost two of their – key players that were going to have a huge factor on that team before the season even started. And they still found a way to, that says a lot about Kalia Copper's leadership, but like says found a way to rally and just make the playoffs. Like, cause once I saw they were going to be 8, I'm like, you're not beating Las Vegas, but like you at least made the playoffs. And a lot of that is because they had no depth in the post. Now, Liz Ewell doesn't have to carry everything by herself inside. And also, Elizabeth Williams had one of her best defensive years last year. And like, just she had such a great season for her. Like, if you look at her overall career, like that's her best season since 2020. She just really settled in. The system that Chicago basketball, I'm not even talking James Wade. We're going to kind of see some similarities in Weatherspoon too, but just like the type of basketball that's played in Chicago, like in the city of Chicago, I'm not talking WNBA, but just the type of basketball that is reflective of this city is something that Ewell relished in and did really, really well in. Now bringing in Cardoso, oh my gosh, Ewell's not having to play 35 minutes. You know, like you give her some breathing room and you give her breaks and you give her some rest. So she's not gassed, you know, come September. And if you just look at that post pairing, I mean, you got two elite shot blockers inside, and then add on, add on Angel Reese and Breanna Turner and Isabel Harris. Driving's going to be a little hard for some teams this year, man. You know, they're going to find their lanes because these women are hoopers, but like it's going to be tough. Like the one thing that Chicago lacked more than anything last year was size. And that's the one thing they got this year in the draft is size. You now have somebody on your team that can battle with Jonquel Jones, Breanna Stewart, Brittany Griner. Not saying Ewell couldn't, but like Ewell is 6'3", you know, like Brittany Griner 6'7", you know, like,
right.
You know, Asia's 6'5", you know, Jonquel 6'6". Like it's just, there's a height disparity at the end of the day. And if you can find that type of height, and not only that, Cardoso's athleticism at that height is something that you don't see often, except where else? In the W. Camila Cardoso reminds me a lot of Asia Wilson. Again, South Carolina Gamecocks, Dawn Staley's camp. Dawn Staley knows how to find, you know, top tier talent. And so what I see out of Cardoso, though, that Asia doesn't have is the ability to shoot the three. Not saying Asia can't, but when in that tournament game, the fact that they left Cardoso against Tennessee, they left Cardoso wide open at the top of the key going, she's not going to make that. And she cashed it to win the ball game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a threat you can't just let sit there now. You now have, in all, like, you have a positionless center if you really wanted to. I wouldn't go that route, but like, you do. You have someone that if you really wanted to, you could put her at the three. I would suggest not doing that, but like, she could go up to the three. She's definitely better as a five. But like, now, if you really wanted to, you could move Ewell into more of a forward position and that's like right. kind of have the, like, you have depth inside in your post and in your front court that just did not exist last year. The front court last year was Alana Smith and Ewell. That was it.
And Birch. Morgan.
Yeah, but like,
well, Morgan, she was around.
Yeah, she, like, she was injured for a while, and that she was great. And then that injury, she never really fully recovered from, you know, like, she was kind of always a couple steps behind. And yep. I, you know, so that's something that depth is going to be insane. Now, my question is the guard play. That's now where I'm looking at, because if you take out the training camp contracts, because remember, just reminder, rosters are capped at 12. Most teams carry 11. Right now, take out those training camp contracts. You're at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no way you're not adding, like, Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso are on this team. Like, this is one of those. This is where, look, Jeff Pagliacca did one hell of a job.
Let's talk about that.
Entering into this season, everyone was like, oh my God, this guy have no draft capital. I'm talking 2023. They have no draft capital for 2024. And there's all these big names. Oh my God, Sky are going to be trash. Sky going to do this. Sky going to do that. And I'm like, no, hold on. We got to see who they bring in at GM. We got to see who they brought in. And when I saw that they brought in someone with a player development background, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I was intriguing, right? I
sat there and I'm like, okay. So what I'm seeing is the Sky are jumping on a ship that hasn't fully set sail in the W, which is they're actually going to develop talent. Because of how the W is and how contracts are set up, this is why it's hard for these rookies to make rosters. The league's just not set up to develop talent. It's just not. If you had 14 roster spots instead of expanding to 14 teams, you know, maybe you could. But like, it's just not set up to be a developmental league. In regards to developing players to play at a higher level. Like, that's what kind of overseas does for a lot of these WNBA players. But because of all of the trades that he made this year with, you know, sending Copper to Phoenix, sending Rebecca over to New York, Sika Kone being gone, a lot of them did a lot of cleaning house to create draft capital that did not exist. And while doing that, added two of the biggest names in college basketball to the roster, and to a roster that was already kind of light anyway when it came to like the amount of people he signed. So when I saw that he was going to have three picks, and then I looked at the roster, I was like, wait a minute. So are they going to now focus towards full development so that, you know, in 2 years' time, when you're going to see, like, because Marina Mabry's contract's up in 2 years. Dana Evans is a free agent next year. Diamond's only on a one-year deal. Isabel's only on a one-year deal. Yeah. Only has 1 year left. Elizabeth doesn't have that much time left, too. So if you can get them in now to learn from these folks and learn from these hoopers who have been in the league for a minute, you're now creating development that's never been there, ever, in the entire existence of the Chicago Sky. So you're now going to be a team that's going to get ahead of the curve if the WNBA approaches this growth portion with media rights deal and the expansion and everything in the right way, because now we're going to start seeing these people, these college kids, make these rosters. They may not start, but they're going to make these rosters. They'll get late minutes But we're now going to start seeing development happen in the W that we've never seen prior. It's always just been, here's the top hoopers, let's watch them ball. Now we're seeing, here's the top hoopers, let's watch them ball and have them train the next class. That's something we just haven't seen in the W. It just hasn't happened. Las Vegas is on that train. Seattle's starting to get there. Because if you look at Las Vegas, who they added yesterday... How in the world anyone
how did let, they let that happen?
How did they let Daisha Fair go to Las Vegas? How did you how did that happen? So if you look at that Las Vegas roster on who they have returning, they're set. You want to know what they developed? You want to know who they drafted? The team that's going to be there in 2 years. That's who they drafted. And that's what the sky is doing now. Seattle started doing it. LA absolutely did that yesterday. Indiana's been doing it since the Aaliyah Boston pick. So they're a year ahead of everybody. But it's, we're seeing a development focus in the W, which has me so excited. But if you look at this guard play, this is where I am a little intrigued, because you have Dana and you have Marina, you got Diamond. And then you also have Lindsay Allen, which was a signing to come in, which I thought was an interesting signing, but I think she's going to bring an assist ability that they just didn't really have. And she's someone that said that she really wants to work on her shooting range. So I just, for when I saw that signing, I was like, okay, this is a depth piece. This is more like you're going to really rely on Dana, Marina, and Diamond. And then you're going to have Lindsay kind of come in and be that, like, be what Dana was last year. That's what Lindsay is going to be for this guy this year. And then they draft Brenna Maxwell. Now I'm going to be very, very honest here. I knew nothing about Brenna Maxwell out of Gonzaga, because the only thing that I heard out of Gonzaga was about the twins. Then when Pagliacca said yesterday, Pagliacca, Jeff Pagliacca. Oh man, I hope I'm saying his name right. He's told me a few times and I butchered it. Pagliacca. Okay, I was right. But he goes, that's the best shooter in the country. I was taken aback. I was like, whoa, you're saying, and with his background and Spoon's background in player development, I take that statement very seriously. So if you look at
what do you say? All she sees is the net.
All she sees is the rim. I did a quick look at her stats yesterday after the draft. She shot 44% from the arc.
Regardless
of anything else, if you're that hot from the three, that is always going to do well in the WNBA. So now I'm like, okay, are they trying to like do what they like what James Wade did with Dana? Is that what Spoon's going to try and do with Maxwell? Like how Dana always stayed in the system and like developed it and then became is going to have that breakout season at like 25, 26, 27. That's why I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But then you have these three training camp contracts invitees, you know, and Kennedy Carter, Gondrick, and then Taya Davis-Raymer, who, you know, in my opinion, you have Maxwell and those three training camp contracts fighting for a single spot. In my opinion, that's what I see.
I think that's what it kind of boils down to as well.
Yeah, you have four people fighting for one guard spot, and you kind of want that guard spot because you already have Diamond and Mikayla, who can kind of float more as like a two if they really wanted. Mikayla's definitely more of a three, but she can, if you wanted to go like a bigger lineup, you can have her at the two. But I think if Maxwell does make the roster, you now have shooting threats in Marina Mabry, Dana Evans, Lindsay Allen, and Maxwell that are all hot from the three. And then you have the bigs inside. Like, look, this is a balanced roster. This is one of the first balanced rosters they've had since they won the ship in 21.
And he did all of this in one year.
He did it in six months. That's impressive. That is impressive. That is insanely impressive. And I like, are we going to see another executive of the year come out of Chicago? I could see it. I could very much see it. If we want to get into projections, do I think the Sky are going to make the playoffs? I really don't know. They're not going to be a top five team.
Right.
They're not. The top five is going to be Vegas, Seattle, New York, Connecticut. And then you could, like, that fifth spot you could kind of throw. It's a toss-up kind of between, like, Dallas and Atlanta. But it's I don't want to say they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't. But with just how raw this team is, and granted, they do have a good foundation set, you know, because you do have a good core. You have your two guards and your big returning. So you have a solid core, you know, coming back, but you have a, it's a different culture and a different mindset. That's good. That, and the chemistry alone is going to just take some time, excuse me, to work out. So I could see them fighting for that eight spot, but in all reality, I think what LA was last year at the end of the season, like just fighting for that 8-9 spot and then like just missing out, that's what this Sky team I think is going to be this year. I don't think they'll make it, but I think they'll be very, very, very competitive. I think this might be one of the most competitive years we see out of the W, that I think we know who those top four teams are. And we've kind of had that since around like 2020, I'd say 2019. You kind of always know who those top four are. It's that 5 through 8 that's always kind of up for grabs. I think this year it's more like 6, 7, and 8 are up for grabs. You don't know who's going to fill out that bottom portion when it comes to playoffs. And again, if the Sky were to make it, they would again be an 8 seed. I don't see them having the success to, I don't think they're going to get hit their winning streak at the right time. Let me put it that way. I think they're going to hit their winning streak at a kind of, it's a little too late type time because of just chemistry and working through all of that. Cause that takes time. It's not going to just happen in like 2 weeks of training camp. Like that's just not exactly how basketball works. So that's why I'm like, this interesting, but 2025 though.
Oh yeah. That would talk.
That's, you know, that's a whole other different discussion. But what I'm excited to see is like, what is a Weatherspoon team going to look like? I am so excited to see what these sets are going to be. I'm excited to see what defenses she wants to run. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing full court press the entire time? That's, now that I look at the roster, she can kind of do anything she wants. She can go any different direction. And I also am very, very, I love who she's added on to her assistant coaching staff. I think that's going to be, the assistant coaching staff never gets enough love as they should. But with the scouting that they've done and this team that they have built in this 6 months, and with a Weatherspoon mentality, like as she said, she's ready to gear up. Like, I mean, I don't know. Could the Sky be a sleeper this year? I don't know because
I wouldn't count them out.
That's yeah. What I say. Like now, looking at this roster, I'm like, ooh, I'm not gonna say they're not gonna be the bottom team in the W. That I don't see that happening.
Right.
But like, it's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, I don't know. You could go as high. I could see them finishing as high as 7th and as low as like 7 and 9 is kind of where I see them right now.
Yeah. That I think that's fair, right? That's fair. Because that's just being totally objective with what we're seeing, because you got to think about that opening stretch of the season is not going to be kind for the Sky. So no. It's all going to be how, you know, we come out the gates.
Yeah, exactly. It's all how you open the season, and the energy that you come out with to open the season is going to be the tone that you set for the whole season. So if they come out with just an intensity and a competitiveness that they're going to fight until the final end, which that seemed to be the theme of what they want to build this team around, that's something that is going to pull off some upsets. It's bound to happen. We saw it last year. So, and that was a Sky team that was riddled with injuries. So I don't know. And here's the other thing. You also have to look at the rest of the league. Like, no one's been, Vegas is set to become what the Minnesota Lynx were in like the 2010. They're about to become a dynasty right now. New York is going to continuously like just be shy, because when you have Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, and Asia Wilson on a team together, I just like, how do you defend that? Like, I don't. That's why they've won. You can't defend that. Like that's like insane. And they've been playing together for how long now? Like they know each other. They know each other so well. Do you saw those passes from Kelsey Plum last year?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And from Chelsea. And from Chelsea.
Well, she alone is like,
my God.
Honestly. Oh my God. But like, those passes, that's what happens when you come with plan for a while. And if you're creating, let's say, you know, if they do want to keep the hometown kid and Dana here, and you have her learn and how to feed Angel and Cardoso, and then you add on some, you add on Diamond, who's also got that assist ability, and then you're going to have Marina as that option on the out, and we're going to get her, you know, to try and do some things defensively, like that, like you give them like 2 years together, yo, like that's, you're going to start to see the same thing. And that's what I'm saying. You're starting to see this. Everyone's following the Vegas model because the Vegas model worked. So if you follow this player development model, and when you have two people that are running your team that have a higher player development background, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, it's going to be interesting.
Now, you brought up a point that I want to finish things up on, and it's the Las Vegas Aces model. Mm. Because the way that they built their team into this championship contender is the way that I kind of see what the Chicago Sky is trying to do, to the point you made. I mean, even look at what the Aces did in the draft yesterday. Not only getting the guard, but getting Kitley as well. I mean, come on now.
What a steal, man. What a steal. And I feel bad for Kitley, man. I really do. That injury really plummeted her draft stock, and she did not deserve to go.
Because she was playing at All-American level. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man. Like that, I really feel for her with that injury, man. Because it's that one thing that's out of your control, and you're just like, oh, gosh. Yep. And so, but, you know, when she gets healthy, you have her learn from Asia.
Come on. See, the rich always get richer, man.
But it's true. This Las Vegas model, it's worked. So, you know, they always say, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Don't try to fix it.
This thing has been very shiny for 2 years, 3 years. So, just saying.
So with Angel Reese, we're getting a lot of people that are kind of hitting us up. And they're like, I know you guys are excited about the moves, and we are as well. But there's a lot of people that are talking about Angel's game and the areas of her game that she needs to improve upon, because most people will say, hey, her offensive game hasn't been refined, that she's more of a finisher. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But what does she do really, really fucking well right now?
She a rebounder, my guy.
She a rebounder like a mug. And I'm telling you, like what Cardoso said in the press conference, good luck trying to get offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds with them in the mix. And you even talked about E-Will. Come on now. See, that's the thing. We have to focus on the strengths of a player before we start trying to break people down. Because with Jeff and Spoon and that coaching staff, you don't think that they're going to work and get those players to where they need to be?
Exactly.
We're talking about rookie players coming into the WNBA. You can't expect them to come in game one and she's down. Oh, Angel Reese has this this elbow jumper now. No, it's not going to be that. That has to be developed.
Yes. What I'm excited about with Angel Reese is the physicality that she has is uncoachable. Like is something that's just natural talent. Like that is something that she just, there's three different types of basketball players. There are people that have just the God-given natural athletic ability. And those are people like the LeBron James, you know, that is the most athletic individual that has ever played the sport of basketball, in my opinion. I don't think we've seen anyone that's been as athletic as him to grace this game. Then you have people who have that ability, but also, you know, developed it. And that's what you see a lot of the W. The best person that I could do a comp that to is Kalia Copper. She's got some God-given ability and some core strength and body control that is just unreal. Like that's something that she just has. Like it's nothing that she worked on. She just has it. And then she worked on other things. And then there are people like Angel who that raw skill set is there. But the one thing that she has that every basketball coach will always love is that physicality. Mm-hmm. And when Jeff said yesterday, she's a fearless player. She throws her body around like it's nothing. Like,
yeah, she doesn't care.
She doesn't. And that's a type of hooper that, again, that's something you can't coach. That's something you just have to have. And that's what they look for more. And when I spoke to them in the offseason, they're like, we're putting the character of the person before the basketball right now. And I sat there and there were people like, well, you have to look at the basketball. And I'm like, well, guess what? All of these women can play basketball. So now you have to really go, you have to go through these women with a fine tooth comb. Mm-hmm. You have to find what it is about them that will make them special, or what it is about them that will contribute to your culture. What it is about them that will also have the fans buy in. Like, take basketball out of it. Talk about one of the best business moves that the Sky made by drafting Angel Reese.
Oh, hell yeah. Bringing Chicago Barbie to the mix.
Oh, my gosh. You know, like
that jersey, that jersey going to be a top seller.
Oh, 1,000. Now, here's the next question.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Cardoso and Reese both wore number 10 in college. Who wearing it now?
Ooh.
Now, so I put that out on Twitter yesterday.
And yeah, what come back from that? Yeah,
some people said Cardoso because she was drafted higher. And I was like, you know what? Kind of like that logic.
I can see it.
I can see it. Then I love the fun. The people are like rock, paper, scissors. I was like, no. This is your brand. Okay. This is your brand. You gotta work with it. And here's the thing. I could see Reese taking it just because her whole brand is Reese 10 Angel. That's her whole brand on everything. Cardoso doesn't have that because, you know, when you are blessed as someone with a very uniquely named Carly, spelled in a fun way, when you are blessed with a name like Camila Cardoso that is new and there's not any really one else out there with that name, you can kind of just run with your name and your brand. Some people were saying rock, paper, scissors. Some people said a dance battle. Some people said whoever gets the most rebounds in a practice. Some others were saying, what if like one of them wore 7 and one of them wore 3, so it added up to 10. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that. Or like a 6 and a 4, something like that. And then someone needs to wear 1 and 0. I was like, well, Diamond wears 0, so that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Yep.
So it's more like, what are we going to see? I'm excited. So like, you know, anyone else got any ideas? I want to see some fun things. We got to see how that's going to get figured out.
I think you brought up the best point about it is that Angel's whole brand has been basically sold around this 10 idea. So I think she's going to end up with it. And what I think if she was like really, really about that life, she would bring Chameleon on one of her brand deals.
Boom.
As a thank you for giving up that number 10.
Boom. Yeah. And here's the thing. Look, everyone, again, people may call me a hater, but everyone's like, Caitlin Clark's best player, blah, 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 blah. Bro, I'm sorry. I have been in love with Angel Reese's game since I saw her first play in college. Like, she – and, like, can we just take the hoops out of it? That swag and that confidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Girl, that's going to translate so well here in Chicago. I hope you understand. Like, that
she got Chicago energy off the rip.
She going to blend in so good here. Now we got to start. We got to get her to Harold's. We got to
get let's go.
We got to get her some of that mouse sauce. We got to get her some of that. We got to take her to the Wiener Circle. We got to get her to some spots. But like, she's her attitude and her energy is something that, and I'm going to say this correctly, Chicagoans, not Bourbonites, Chicagoans, Chicagoans, people from Naperville claiming you're from Chicago, you're not from Chicago.
Man, they better stop doing that.
That's what you better.
You people from Palatine, shut up.
Oh my God, you from the Chicago land. That's all, just say land, just add another syllable. But anyway, Angel's attitude and her swag and how she approaches ball is how every hooper here in the city looks at ball. That she just has that same look toward, and when I say look, I don't mean like vision or IQ, I mean just like her view on the game. I don't really know how to describe it. I don't mean like the tangible of like how she can make passes or see the rim or anything like that. It's just her, you know what, it's not her view, it's in her interpretation of basketball is something that, if anyone here in Chicago, which I always say this all the time, we're a football town, but we're a basketball city. And we're Chicago is the mecca of basketball. Some of the best hoopers in the country have come out of here. So I sit there and I'm like, you're going to come in to this spot. And I want to see her get involved with some of these youth basketball programs here, like get her at the Doug Bruno camp, get her at some of these other camps throughout the city. I want to see her really fall in love with the city and embrace it. And I think she's going to do that really well. And I also believe that Cardoso is going to blend in very well. Not blend. She's 6'7", not blend in, but
not much blended
at 6'7". But like, I think she very much also, again, you can tell a lot about a person about how, like with how they approach and how they interpret the game of basketball. And Cardoso just has that Chicago approach. She's gritty. She's tough. Mm-hmm. She She's someone that will not ever, she will fight to the bitter end. And I'll never forget what Dawn Staley said about Cardoso after the championship. She said, Camilla was not going to let us lose a game. She was not going to let us lose a game. And guess what? She did it. She's the whole reason, in all honesty, everyone thought they were going to get upset by Tennessee. And she changed said, nah. that. She nah. said, nah, fam, I'm going to cash this three and then I'm going to go get my ring. Like, that's what that was. Like, it's just, that is something that Chicagoans are just going to love. And I just, I want to see them get immersed in the city as soon as possible and embrace the beauty of what this city has to offer. Because at the end of the day, Chicago sells itself. The city alone sells itself. Yeah. Summertime Shy, oh my God. So
forget about it. I don't care what you hate to say about my city.
I don't know, bro. It's like Chicago sells itself. That this city alone sells itself. So I'm just excited, man. Like this is like, I know I've been, people say that, like, Carly, you've been hot on the Sky for a while. You were hot with James Wade and all this, that, and the third. I was like, I loved how James Wade played basketball. I loved how his approach was because it reminded me a lot of like a combination of a motion offense with the flying Illini. And that's what I loved, is because it gave me that.
Very true.
It gave me that old school feel that I just had not seen in a long time. And I was really happy about it. Now, with Weatherspoon coming in, I knew who, I mean, I watched basketball, you know, I knew who Spoon was, and I knew the legend and the competitor and the intensity of the intensity that she has as a person and as a player. She just added two more of those. Cardoso's hella intense. Angel, come on. I don't think I need to say she intense. Like,
right. We don't even need to state that, right?
She does that herself. But, like, it's something that I think some things are thinking. Like, I see some things happening. And, like, look, I sat there last year, and when I saw that the Sky were projected 10th last year, I was like, they're not finishing 10th. When they had injuries, I was like, now they might finish 10th. But, like, they still then proved everybody wrong. That's what Chicagoans do.
We prove
people wrong. You doubt us. Oh, okay. All right. Continue to doubt us. Go ahead. Continue to doubt us. Say we need a rebuild. When this, you can't really have a rebuild in the WNBA because of how contracts are set up. I really wish people would stop using that term. It's not the NBA. You can have max contracts. Contracts are only 2 years. You're not going to have 4 year contracts. Like, please stop. There's no such thing as a rebuild in the WNBA. It's a retooling. Get over it. Like, oh my God, I'm so over that word. But like, you're seeing a retool happen right here, because as Spoon said, they had a foundation, and you had Elizabeth Williams and Dana Evans and Marina Mabry. Marina did not have the best year last year, but she's still a shooter. She's a sniper now.
Yeah, put some respect on her name.
And you have a two-way player at a point guard in Dana Evans, who's one of the, like, she's a pit bull defensively, and she got range offensively, more range that we saw last year. You got a healthy Isabel Harrison coming back. Now what you're discussing is he going to have a starting spot? That's the thing that you got to
ask. That is what I was going to ask you, because if you look at what they have done, is she starting?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know, because she's coming off that injury. I don't know. When you come off an injury, there's so much that changes about your body. And with hers being the leg injury, you know, that's what basketball is all running. You know, that's all your legs. So I think what I honestly could see is kind of what Indiana did last year. If you remember at the start of the season, like, it was kind of like five in, five out. I could see happening again in Chicago, where you're going to have a set starting five, but like, not really, if that makes sense. I don't really like you're like who I see is the starting five right now. In all honesty, you got Dana, Marina, Diamond, Liz, and I'm going to say Angel.
Ooh, you're going Angel. Ooh.
Here's why. Cardoso. But if you wanted to go with a bigger lineup, you do Cardoso, Williams, Brianna Turner, Diamond, and then you have Marina at the point, or that's when you have Lindsay come in at the point.
Spoon's got so many options that she could do with the lineup.
This is one of the few things, like, she created depth on this team where she can have – a real, real big lineup, and she can also go small. Because if she wanted to go small, you could just do Dana, Marina, Diamond, Lindsay, and Angel. Right. If you really wanted to go small, there's your small lineup. If you wanted to go real big, then you go Dana, Diamond, Angel, E-Will, Cardoso.
Man, so many possibilities. And even right. You were getting me excited when you were talking about play style. Because we saw how this team played on the wing last year. And mm-hmm. audience, before y'all start getting into the comments when I make the statements, I know anytime you bring James Wade up, Wade's name up, everybody gets to their feelings. They forget that he brought us a banner. The way that this team was playing to start last season, I thought was his best coaching job in Chicago.
He couldn't control. Agree with that.
Yeah, he couldn't control the entrance. But that playing style, the way that team had that chip on their shoulder, that to me was like, man, I would have loved to see what that team would have been able to have accomplished.
Yeah, and that's where, like, and that's what I said last year. I said, man, if they had a Rebecca Gardner and an Isabel Harrison last year, that Sky team would have looked so different. So different. Not having Rebecca Gardner last year really hurt them big time. Big time. And now they don't have her. She's in her 30s. Like, you know, once you hit like 32 to like 36, you're getting up there in age as a basketball player. You're putting mm-hmm. some years on your knees and your ankles. You know, I didn't play at that level and my knees are already barking at me. Okay. And I am not 32 to 36. Okay. So like, it's just, your legs are going to give out after some time. It just is. And so I don't know, man, like you have a lot of versatility here with this lineup. And I think, If Spoon really wanted to get real gutsy with it, she could go positionless and just let that team.
Just let them go.
Just let them hoop. And if you go positionless, then if we're going to go positionless, here's the dream lineup. Dana, Diamond, Angel, E-Will, Cardoso. Or you go Dana, Diamond, Harrison, BT, Cardoso.
Or you could throw Michaela in some kind of way.
Here's the thing. I like Michaela's game a lot. She just, and I think maybe Spoon might be the player to help break her out of this.
Mm-hmm.
She just hasn't had that like jolt of a season, if that
fair.
Makes sense.
That's
you
fair.
Know what I mean? And I think that her playing in Chicago could be that, but just based off of stats and everything that I've seen, I don't see her starting. I definitely see her coming off the bench. And I also believe that this is a team, like last year we saw Ruthie never really got a lot of, I mean, granted she was on maternity leave, but like,
right. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't set up for success.
No. And like, there were a few others, you know, that you always kind of saw right in the bench. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case with this team. Everybody's touching the floor at some point, everybody. And when you have that type of depth, you're keeping them healthy and in condition for a lot longer of a run. And if you can get them in that mentality early and you're like, this is going to be like play by committee, it's very much going to be matchup oriented, which I think that's how Spoon's really going to approach it. I think we're going to get different lineups every day, depending on who they play. That's something that you don't see in the W a lot, because we just haven't had that development background. So that's why, like, the Sky, like Indiana started doing it last year. They just didn't have a full team to do that. They do now, depending on who ends up making that roster. Chicago, even if you take out those training camp people, you're at the cap of the roster already. So like, it's not like you need to go and have some extra person from a training camp contract go on. You could cut all three of those people and be like, yeah, this is what we're rocking with, is the people that we've signed and drafted, and have them really buy into this mentality and really have them, you know, grab onto it and run with it, and have them really have a we, not me mentality. Because if you do that and you're creating positionless basketball on top of that with her NBA background and player development background, this is going to be a team that the W's never seen play before. Like this, like Vegas kind of did it. Well, Vegas did do it because Becky did mm-hmm. it first. Yeah. Becky did it first. It's Spoon's turn now. But I think Becky has more of an offensive mind with her team. Spoon's gonna be more defensive minded.
That's right. So, and they're gonna get after people.
Boom. And here's the other thing. We all talk about that Fever Sky game. This is like, I always get excited to see the Aces, because like, I just love watching Asia Wilson play. When I got to see her in person, her legs are tree trunks, my guy. Man, that is pure muscle that she has as legs. Like, oh my god. Like, but it, we're now going to get two, like, if it ends up going in that direction, you're getting two positionless teams played against each other, one offensive-minded, one defensive-minded. Like, that's a game I really want to go to. Like, I don't think the Sky are going to win, but that's going to – I could be wrong, but, like, that's going to be a different look to basketball that the W's never seen. Never seen. And that's going to be a battle that I believe is going to draw more eyeballs than the 36 games that Caitlin Clark got, because they're not going to be that hot to start the season. And so people are going to want to tune in and see how the other teams are doing. And I think everyone's going to follow the Aces because they're the champs. And when someone's going to tune into that Aces Sky game, and I think it's going to blow up, because that's going to be a level of hoop that is going to be NBA caliber type basketball.
Well, I would expect that we're going to see more Sky games on national TV now, because they got disrespected, obviously, because they saw the roster and they were like, now we get
–
expect us to get flexed.
All I'm going to say about this is that why did a team that didn't make the playoffs get 36 national games?
That's what I'm trying to sit up here and tell you. That's what I'm trying to sit up here and tell you.
I don't get it.
But, you know,
y'all won nothing.
We'll let you guys all figure that one out.
That's fine. Go ahead and continuously lose on national television. That's completely fine. But, like, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, look, God, I hate talking about this because the W policies really drive me up a wall. The W is not just four teams. There's 12. Ugh. All 12 teams should have an equal amount of national games. Like, stop trying to follow the NBA model of, oh, let's just follow these like three teams and like build that. Yo, you're a league that's so brand new. You don't have generational fandom yet. You need to create buzz about all 12 teams, all of them, not just the three that do well and not just the three that have the most money. Like, obviously they're going to do well because they have the most money to spend, but it's now to a point where it doesn't matter. Like, I think the national champion should obviously get more games because they won the damn thing, but like, why is a team that has not made the playoffs even getting more than 10? Like, at the end of the day, it shouldn't be that. Like, as a league, I know y'all are really trying to sell the media rights deal, which I think it's hilarious. They think they're going to get $500 million. You're going to get 175 at most. Like, you're not getting this big money that you think you're going to get with like NHL and MLB has, because you have not shown consistent viewership numbers consistently. You're just seeing a spike now right at the end of the media deal. Those 2 years are not enough to convince a company to give you more than $200 million. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. So you have to go into it and look at it and be like, okay, if we can create generational fandom now and then have that lead into a media rights deal, then look at the type of numbers that you're going to have. Then you're going to be able to get the type of money that MLB and NHL has, instead of trying to chase the NBA model when you haven't even set anything up like the NBA. Like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, bro, why are you guys running a damn marathon before you guys have even trained for a 5K? Like, I'm nervous. I don't get it.
And let's get some real travel in place. Like, come on now. I mean, how hard is that?
And I don't know. Maybe like a rookie standard contract shouldn't be $74,000. Like,
I was just looking at that thing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Number one pick.
Yeah, you know, like the lowest salary you can make as a rookie is like 64. And then if you come in on a hardship contract, you could be making 36 to 39. Like, you're not making good money unless you are a max out contract player like a Breanna Stewart, Jewel Lloyd, and all those people. You're not making good money. And regardless, the majority of these women make their money either overseas or through their ad deals. But if you want to be taken seriously as a league, you need to take care of these girls, because then they're going to be like, yeah, go ahead and come to this league. Come and play for us. Because if you can't take care of them, who wants to come play for you at the end of the day?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about the money. If you can't take care of safety and get them, like, the fact that the Liberty and the Aces got penalized for chartering flights because of how quick they had to turn around, because they said that was a tactical advantage. What? Yeah. When has flights ever been a tactical advantage? I think we saw with the UConn men's that, if anything, sometimes not having a flight is a tactical advantage.
No shit.
You know?
They fucking blasted everybody because they didn't have to leave.
So, like, you can't sit here and say that it gives them an advantage when we see across every other sport, it really means nothing. Y'all just cheat.
Also, those franchises are basically doing what the league should be doing. And that's what it is. It makes the league look bad. That's what it comes down to. Because those are the franchises that are out here paving the way. And honestly, you know, we didn't even get into this with the Chicago Sky. It's time for our ownership. And I know they want to parade Dwayne Wade in front of us, right? But it's time for our ownership to actually do something besides posting videos on the internet. We need to get some action on this facility. We need to get action on infrastructure.
A lot of that is because the W hasn't approved those dollars yet. And it's been how long? It's been about a year. And W still hasn't approved those dollars. So it's like,
come on.
How do you as a W go, we're going to just let these dollars sit here and not let a team use them? Like, that's my problem. Like, the Sky did everything in their power to get the capital into the building. And now the W is just taking their sweet time to approve it. Like, if you're seeing this much money funnel in, it should not take over almost a year to approve that. See. That should have been approved by, like, the end of 2023 so that you give these teams the opportunity to get ahead and scout the spot. Like, let's say this is for the – like, let's just speak in hypotheticals that this is for the practice facility. That gives them – legitimately 4 months of not having to, like, granted you're dealing with free agency stuff, but like, let the GM and coach take care of that. Ownership and everyone else, all those business partners and everything, can now focus on finding a location for that facility that's not in Deerfield, finding a location and giving them all their own locker. Like, I'm gonna just say that nothing bothered me more. I saw Kalia Copper get kicked out of that gym at 9:30 in the morning for a toddler's basketball class.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's disgusting.
I heard about that.
That's gross. That is so gross. Yep. High schools have more than that. Like, it's so if you approve this money by the end of the year, you're at least giving this guy, like, okay, we only have then one more year of this, and you can then also get in a better situation with the leasing partners that you have with Saks and be like, yeah, all right, this will be our last year. And you don't have to worry about having to sit there and maybe renegotiate a 1 year lease, maybe a 2 year lease. Cause you don't, the W is not getting back to you on approving dollars. Like, because they're taking so long, you're hindering the growth. Again, the league is its own worst enemy.
Well, yeah.
And I don't get it. Like, you talk about the championing of women and all of this stuff. Okay, then do it. Just do it. Like, as Shia LaBeouf said, do it. Just do it. Like, come on. Like, come on. The interest is there. You saw the viewership numbers. You saw the money start funneling in. If y'all are a league that are so focused on growth, why are you taking so long? What is taking? Y'all should have done this 20 years ago. You guys launched at the height of the internet, and you guys were at some of your peak expansion at the height of social media, and y'all did nothing. And y'all are 15 years behind because of it.
What was it that the Seattle Storm were able to get put across?
They did that. That was they. This is different. Seattle had, instead of multiple investors like the Sky did, it was maybe, I think it was just two or three. And when you have less people, it's a little bit easier to approve. Whereas, you know, this is a group. Oh God, my numbers may be off because, you know, it is early, but like, I want to say it's a group of about 7 to 9 people that have invested into the Sky. And it's all, and what they did is, because Alter's not giving up the majority ownership, it's all for small partial minority ownership. And that is going to take time compared to just 3 people who threw a huge chunk of money in, compared to 7 to 9 people who all contributed little bits. So I get it to an extent, to some extent, but like, that was filed. All of that news about investing came out in June. It's now almost May of 2024. Like, this should have been announced before the season started, and the W just dragging their feet is not anything that's a good move.
No, it's not. With the draft that we had here, it's a new day. And I hope that this fan base just can appreciate the direction that things are going, that we can stop focusing on what happened in the past. We can stop talking about the trade.
Let it go. I'm sorry, fans, you got to let it go. I know we all are unfortunately all Bears fans, and we all have that awfulness in us from being Bears fans because of what that team has done to us for, you know, 30 years. But the W, you cannot view the W like any other pro league. You just can't. 2 years is like all you really have with a team, maybe three. And until we see this change in development, stop getting hung up on things that happened in 2022. Stop getting hung up on things that even happened last year, because look at what this franchise did in 6 months. They got all that capital back and then some. And guess what? They did all of those trades and everything for 2025 second rounders and swapping rights for 2026. Guess what? Just because that's there doesn't mean that they can't get that back. That's what people don't seem to understand.
Because he's already shown you that he can do it.
Exactly. It's been happening in the league for a long time. It's been like this. So just do a little bit of research on how business functions in the W and let it go. If anything, Sky fans, you should be thanking James Wade for what he did. He came in, fully revolutionized a program in less than 5 years, took them and won them their first ever championship title, won a coach of the year and executive of the year. Also got, not only won a ship in Chicago, made sure Candace Parker won it in her hometown. No other coach has done that. And I know y'all are all upset about that Marina trade. Whatever. Get over it. Look at what happened. You just got all those big names back regardless after y'all were all nervous. Look at what happened. Trust the process. You need to – Joel Embiid, trust the process. There's a reason the offseason is so long. There's a reason there's only 2-year contracts. There's a reason that there's a reason to all of it. Do some digging and let it go. Just let it go and be excited that we in Chicago get two of the top names in women's basketball.
What a way to end it. Listen. Cool. My goodness, so many bars on there. So many bars.
It's like I do this for a living or something.
Hey, I'm telling you, put some respect on Carly Bill's name. All right, Carly, before you get out of here, talk to the audience about the show, what you got coming up, and then also, too, how they can, like, tune in with you guys.
Yeah, so you can follow me on everything at CarlyBell33. Kept it real simple. That's it on every single platform except TikTok. I do not use TikTok. But follow me on there. So yeah, for those located in the Chicagoland area, I have a monthly show called Chicago Sky No Limits, and it's a program fully dedicated to the Chicago Sky. This is a team that won a championship just 3 years ago. This is a team that deserves to have their own show. So I did it for them. And what this show is we give them the NBA statistical analysis, and we go through everything and we recap you on how they're doing. But we also want to tell you about who these women are outside of the basketball court. And it's a player platform first. I'm here to make sure that these players can get their stories out and in a way that they are actually heard and in a way that it's their voice. No one else has taken their voice and turning it into something. This is them having their moment to talk about what it is about basketball that is important to them and what it is off the court that's important to them and things that they are passionate about. So you can get to know these women, not just as players, but as people. That's going to start up back in May. Can't give you anything more than that just yet. We got to wait for a few things to get finalized, but that's coming up again in May. And who is joining me this year is the lovely Jason Ross Jr., our lovely voice of the Chicago Sky play-by-play commentator. And we have a new face joining us on the show this year, Shimmy Miller joining us on the show. So yes. We're gonna have Shimmy joining us on the show. She's not only there to help us talk hoops, because I like having former hoopers and former players on, we're gonna do some tape breakdowns, we're gonna do some analysis. So if you really want to get some actual 411 on hoops and see the differences between the WNBA and why women's basketball is fantastic, tune into Marquee Sports Network Chicago Sky No Limits, presented by Wintrust.
All right, y'all heard her here. Hey, Carly, as always, it's a pleasure. I can't wait to, man, to cover this team with you this year.
I know, Brian. We're going to have so much fun on Press Row this year. It's going to be a fun season.
That's right. Appreciate you so much for joining us. And I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. I appreciate you. Ow, that was dope. That was dope. That was dope.
Carly brought it, man. She's a hooper. She understands the WNBA. For someone like herself who played before, she gets it, man. And I love what she brought to the table.
Yeah, it was so many gems just in one episode. I mean, one of the things that I really implore the audience to really take from that discussion is the history lesson that she gave about the league itself. No shade against Caitlin, no shade against Angel, Cardoso, any of these other young ladies that are really taking advantage of this opportunity that the WNBA has present day. But we always have to pay attention to history and know that there were people that came before us that paved the way. And I really love that she brought that to the table and to the discussion, because not enough people, in my opinion, are talking about that. A lot of people are talking about what Caitlin Clark has done these last 2 years, which, yes, she has brought awareness and she has brought the viewers to women's sports. But I do think that the people before her also allowed her a platform to be able to do what she's doing as well. So we want to just make sure that we're keeping that at the forefront.
Yeah, and that's very huge there when you talk about the history of the game, Perez. And that's the same way with the NBA. You know, a lot of times people always talk about LeBron and what he's been able to do, but you forget Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, you know, Kobe Bryant. These are individuals that came before, you know, LeBron. And looking at Caitlin Clark, there are others who came before her, like Sheryl Swoopes of the world, who really done great things. Lisa Leslie. It's like, you cannot forget those legends, man. And good for where Caitlin Clark is at, but again, it didn't get there by itself. And you got to think the history of the game to where it's at today.
And then lastly, I hope that the WNBA as a league understands the importance of this moment. Because right now, this league has a unique opportunity. And it's going to be up to the commissioner, the partners, and even the NBA to work with the WNBA better to make sure that this league is positioned to do what a lot of us think that they could do. Because I'm telling you right now, the amount of text messages that I got on my phone last night from the same people that told me, oh, I can't believe you covered the WNBA, to now, oh, man, you guys been covering this since day one. Man, this has got to be exciting for you. I'm like, it's been exciting for me. You just started to appreciate what I've already appreciated. And I definitely think the more people, if you were late to the party, fine. But appreciate this for what it is. The WNBA, you have a great opportunity, because now you have diehards, passives, casuals. You have all type of people now that are curious about your league. Don't let this opportunity fall by the wayside.
And you talk about the eyes and attention on the game of the WNBA. And you got to contribute that to, of course, you know, Caitlin Clark's of the world. You got Angel Reese's of the world. I mean, you just see a lot of great players coming out college who can definitely make a name for themselves. And with all this attention that the WNBA has right now, it is their job to make sure they continue to promote and make sure that, hey, that league is successful down the road with making sure that they can continue to put some butts in the seats because of what we see now.
Well, speaking of butts in the seats, man, I don't expect to see many empty seats at Wintrust this year. I think that the fan base, I mean, looking at our numbers for last night, for what we put out there on YouTube, to look at those numbers and see that they're 38x over our highest viewed content. And this content that we put out last year was pretty freaking solid number-wise. One Chicago Sky post last night, 38x. That shows you that people are interested in this product. And we have an opportunity, all of us, to continue to share these stories of these players and to continue to push women's sports to the forefront.
It's time to push, man. And the fact that you and I have been pushing for quite some time speaks volume. But definitely those who are now in tune, I'm quite sure Chicago Sky and the WNBA will love their support moving forward.
Yes, sir. Well, audience, we appreciate you guys. And like we said, we're going to continue to keep bringing you guys these guests. And Carly Bill, she brought it. High energy, you know what I mean? She is all things women's sports. And I bet when I said earlier in this discussion, there's a young girl, young women that are looking for somebody in this space to look at as an example. And just think about in your everyday life, somebody that you could be that example for. And do it. There's always someone watching. Be that example.
Teammates, one thing about Michael Jordan was he never asked me to do something that he didn't fucking do.
I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way.